And we prayed about that. We sang about that. So if we're a family, hey, just go up and say hi to someone. Say hi to somebody you haven't seen in a while. So I'll tell them, hey, I'm glad you're here this morning. So get on up. You're my sister. You're my sister. You're my sister. You're not my sister. Just kidding. All right, okay. All right. Well, good. 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 All right. Last week we saw that, man, we're going through our theme this year, Let's Pray. We sang all about prayer right there. Thank you, Heather, for leading us and team and AV team. And we're singing about prayer. We're thinking about prayer. We just started on Friday night. This past Friday, we started our combined Bible study. Our whole church is doing a study on prayer. And the young adults will be starting it up this Wednesday. And we're just focusing on what God is doing on it through us and through this work of prayer. We want to be a church that is desperately on our knees for the Lord and seeking His will in prayer, talking to Him, depending on Him. And God calls us to pray. We want to pray according to His will. Man, we want to be a church that is known as prayer. It'd be great if, like, a lot of other people outside of our church, they looked at our church, Chinese Baptist Church, and they said, man, there's something about that church. They pray. We know they pray. We can see it through their individually, corporately. We know they're an awesome witness to the world. And so we want to be a church of prayer. And last week, I took a hiatus from my Acts series, the book of Acts, which I've been going through. Because each quarter of the year, we want to come back and revisit this theme of prayer. And so this time, as we're revisiting the theme of prayer, we're focusing on what does it mean to pray in community, pray as a family, pray as a church. And so these 2 weeks here, last week and this week, we're focusing on what does it mean to pray in community. Now, last week we talked about the fact that we started to get the foundation that we are one. We are one people. We've got to get that. We've got to understand we're one before we can really understand unity, right? Unity and praying as a family. We're one people in Christ. And our local church, we are one family. We're one family in Christ. And so we saw last week three things, if you remember. Three things: the sense of oneness that we should have together, that we are one people, we're one flesh in a sense, comes from the person of God Himself. God Himself is one, although He's a community. God Himself is three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And those three have always had perfect loving relationship with themselves from eternity past to eternity future. They are the model for us for having a unity, having a diversity with unity. And they're completely unified in everything they do. Although the Son's not the Father, this Holy Spirit's not the Father, and vice versa, they're not the same, but they are one God. It's a mystery. I know the Trinity is a mystery. It blows our minds, makes my brain spill over. How can God be one yet three persons? That's how God reveals Himself in Scripture. We take it by faith. We understand what it is, but it's very hard to explain. And I think when we get to see Jesus face to face in the new heavens and earth, we'll be able to understand it better. But God Himself is a community. Then He becomes one with us. And so we talked about that. When we believe in Jesus, as Can prayed about, when we believe that Jesus is our Savior, He died for our sins on the cross, when we believe that, we receive the Holy Spirit, God Himself who indwells us. He actually becomes one in some mysterious way with our soul, with our inner being. And He becomes one with us. And so there's that marriage analogy in Scripture where husband and wife, it's said to become one flesh, and that is the picture of God's love for us. He becomes one flesh spiritually with us, and so He's one with us. And so not just as an individual, but also as a church. So we're one flesh, all of us, with God in this spiritual union. The Holy Spirit, in a mysterious way, unites us with God as one. And so that's beautiful. So because of those first two things, then the third thing is, we then should be one with each other. Remember, we looked at last week, Jesus prays to His Father while He's on earth. He prays to His Father. He says, Lord, let the church be one as we are one. So just as Jesus is completely one, unified with the Father, He prays for all of us that we would be one with each other. And that it's amazing to stop and think about, wait a minute, Jesus is actually praying for me and for you to be one with each other. He wants us to love each other and to forgive each other and to lay down our lives for each other. He wants us to do that because that's good for us. That's being like God, and that's joy. And that's what we'll, and we said this last week, the new heavens and earth, we're going to be tight, really tight for a millennium, million years, and then some because it's eternity. The heavenly reality is we're going to be all one with each other. We're going to retain our own individual beings, but we're going to be one with each other in love and the way we agree on things and do things, yet with the diversity of gifts and who we are. And so let it be true. As we just sang about the Lord's Prayer, we've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer. It says in the Lord's Prayer, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the heavenly reality is we will be one. Every tribe, tongue, nation, we will be one people in a wonderful display of diversity. Wonderful, like we can say, kaleidoscope. You know, just beauty of colors and tongues in the new heavens and earth. We're going to be one. We're going to be one people. And so if that's the heavenly reality, then we should strive for that right now in our church and then also in other churches. We want to show the world, which is completely the opposite, which is fractured by racism and ethnocentrism and xenophobia and all this other stuff, right? Everybody has a sin pushing against each other and social classes. The church, though, is where God is reversing that curse and saying, hey, we can be one. We can be one people despite the fact that we have all kinds of different backgrounds because Jesus Christ makes us one. It's not because of ourselves. Jesus himself, we're all looking to him. He indwells us, and he wants us to be of one mind. He doesn't want us to be robots. He never says, you know, think exactly the same way. In fact, he has a whole analogy in Corinthians where he talks about Jesus is the head of the body, and we are the body. Some are fingers, some are toes, some are eyes, but we all function as one body, and there's a beauty to that. And so we need to show the world that we are loving each other, we're one, and it breaks down barriers because Jesus Christ does it. And therefore, how then do we pray for each other, right? So we can pray together in community. And some of you experienced this last Friday. You know, man, we have all kinds of different backgrounds, but we sit down and pray. Our goal is, man, we're praying to God, we're the same God. We have one God, one Holy Spirit, one Savior, and we are praying to him, and our minds and our hearts are focused on him. And that unifies us, which is amazing. Nothing else in this world can unify us like Jesus and through his Holy Spirit, that we can all be knit together. And it's kind of exciting, you know, when we share the same Savior. You know, sometimes when I talk with you guys or I go out to lunch with some of you, we start getting into a deep conversation. We're talking about things, and then we start talking about Jesus. It feels like our hearts are being, you know, just strengthened and built up because we're excited because we're talking about our Savior. And it's both our loves of our life. The friend sitting across the table from me at lunch is talking about his Savior that he loves, and I have the same Savior that I love. Man, and we're knit together in one. And that's what the church should all be about. And so only Jesus makes this possible, as Can prayed, right? The only reason we can come together as one is if we've been adopted into his family. How are we adopted? We have to believe that Jesus, the reason Jesus came is because he came to die on the cross for us because we're sinners. We're separated from this Father, separated. We don't have oneness with God because we've rebelled against him. We hate him. We have sin. But Jesus came to die in my place, to take the punishment I deserve against a holy God, to say, hey, I'm going to die for your sins so that you can be free to walk into a presence of a holy God. That's what Jesus did for us. And if you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, you are saved into a new family. We have a brand new eternal family that's actually closer than flesh and blood because we have the Spirit of God uniting us. God is our Father. Jesus is our firstborn brother. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Even though Can's a brother from a different mother, we're brothers in Christ. We're tighter than flesh. That's amazing. What's the only thing that can unify us like this? It's Jesus Christ. And so it's really cool as I was studying this topic, thinking about it, looking it over. You know, I was thinking about my series in Acts, and actually next week, it's going to talk about the early church being of one heart and one soul. And it's just interesting how that early church is a wonderful model for our church. They held all things common, and they fellowshipped with each other, and they held all things dear. They were truly one heart and one soul, the Bible says of the early church. And can it be said of us? Are we one heart and one soul? The theological reality is, yes, if we are believers in Jesus, we are. But then the practical side of it, then we need to show it to each other. We need to show it to each other. We're one. You know, I said last week, you know, a church is odd because a lot of times we look at the people in the church and we said, in my normal life, I wouldn't necessarily choose to hang out with some of the people in this church just because I just don't have the same personality and all that. But the church is the one place where people with even different personalities can come together and actually be friends, real friends, and they actually grow together. Isn't that amazing? You know, because usually in the world, you know, people, if they don't really like each other, they're not going to hang together, right? I'll have to work with this guy at work, but I have to work. See you later. I never would hang with you. But Jesus brings us together. And then we have these different gifts we can offer one another. We need one another. We actually need one another. I need you. I have some gifts you don't have. You have a lot of gifts I don't have. So we need each other. We need to walk in patience and long-suffering with each other. We do things as a group. So I love this verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. And this is something that just hit me as I was studying this. This is how the church functions. When one person feels joy, somebody came to the Lord, man, we rejoice. Or something good happened to somebody. You know, somebody got healed of cancer. They got a clean bill of health. We rejoice with the Lord. But if somebody is suffering, we suffer with them. We enter into your suffering. We put our arms around each other. And we say, hey, that is terrible. That is terrible news. But I'm here with you, and I pray, and I support, and I can cry with you. And that's what the church is for. That's what Jesus did. Jesus rejoiced over those who believed in him, and he also wept over those who suffered. And so that's a wonderful, just that little tiny verse right there, it's a wonderful picture of how we're supposed to react. And you know, even Christians overseas who are suffering, do we ever weep over what's happening to the church? Oh, man, in the Middle East, and wow, like I Lord, just help this church. They're suffering because they're being persecuted and thrown in jail because of their faith. We're one worldwide church. Rejoice with those who rejoice. So I have two main points for this sermon today, two main points. First one. Here's to think of this sense of being a family and praying as a family. Number one, desire Christ's best for one another. Desire Christ's best for one another. We depend on each other. In fact, if we're in this local body, we should all, in our hearts, first pray to God, Lord, give me a love for my church. Give me a love for my church. Because if you don't have that desire, it's going to be very hard for you to reach out to others. Give me a love for different kinds of people. I wouldn't necessarily, in normal, everyday, my natural self, reach out to you, but God, you're greater than that. You want us to build each other up. We're one flesh, one family. Desire Christ's best for one another. So as you pray, we're talking about prayer. First of all, pray for God to change your heart, that God would give you a love for your church. And not just this local church, of course, the worldwide church. But give me a love for the youth, for the elderly, for the adults, for the nursery. I'm going to love the people in this church, and I'm going to show it in tangible ways through how I'm gifted and just laying my life down for each other. I want to love this church. In fact, what is loving somebody? You know, it's desiring Christ's best for that person. It's ultimately God, Christ's best is for all of us to become like Christ, to bring glory to God. So if I pray for H, I want H to be like Christ. I want him to love God, give God glory in his life. And so I want to pray that for him. And then as I interact with him, I always have that end in view. I want William to be more like Christ. So what am I going to do to help him be more like Christ? And so that's something you all should pray for each other. Desire Christ's best for one another. We all need sanctification. What's that word mean? Sanctification is becoming progressively more holy, like Jesus. If we're saved, thank the Lord, we belong to his family forever. But in this life, we still battle sin and hardships. We need our prayers for each other to become more like Christ. Maybe some of you know people who, you know, I know this person's not saved in this church. I know they're not saved. I know they're not a believer. I know they haven't given their life to Christ. Well, certainly pray for that. Pray for your friends or people you know in this church who are like, man, I hope God would you open their eyes and see the goodness of God, that he loves them and he cares for them and he's bringing them into this family, and he's taking orphan children and literally adopting them into an eternal family that he will love forever, and he's the perfect daddy. And our LSF group, the guys group, we talked about that on Friday, having this daddy who loves us and cares for us is completely perfect in his love for us, this infinite love. And so we need to pray for those to become Christians. We need to pray for our fellow church members to become like Christ. Sanctification in the Lord. We need that. It starts with our desire. So pray, Lord, change my desires. That's the best thing to pray, right? That's the best thing to pray. Pray for God to change our desires. Lord, make me like you. Help me have the loves that you have. Help me have the desires you have. You desire to save a family through Jesus for yourself forever, and you want to shower love. And we should have the same love for the church. I want this church to know and love Jesus. You know, everybody in here, whether it be the Mandarin side, the Cantonese side, I want these people to know Jesus and to know his love. And I know sometimes we don't have a lot of interaction with the Chinese side just because we meet at different times, right? But those little times that we do, you know, it might be in the hallways or at lunch or something like that. Man, I'm going to just show Christ's love to these people. And I'm going to keep praying for the Cantonese and the Mandarin, even though I don't meet in those fellowships. I want them to have a solid teaching, solid love for each other. I want that in Jesus Christ. And that should be our prayer for one another and for each other. So pray for God to change your desires. Another good prayer, let me give you a model prayer to pray. It's a great template to pray for your fellow brother and sister. Let's take a look. Colossians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. This is a model prayer, but man, you just look at this as we read through this text. Look at how Paul prays for the church. Church he loves, the church that Christ died for. He says this, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Stop right there. Don't cease praying for this church. If you haven't prayed for this church in a while, through the week, or through your own quiet times or corporate prayer, pray for this church. Remind yourself, you know, driving in the car, man, I haven't prayed for our church in a while. Start thinking of people to pray for. Pray for big things about the church. Stop. Don't stop praying for the church. And then look at the list he goes through. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Paul first prays for the church. Let's say he's praying for Mr. Calvin here, right? So Paul is praying that Calvin would know God's will. Of course, what is God's will? It's right in front of us. It's God's word. You know, God's will is not some mystic thing out there. It's right in front of us, God's word. And we pray that Calvin would internalize the word of God and know it, understand who God is. That's how God reveals himself to us, through his word. And we want him to have wisdom as he tries to understand it. Understanding that comes from God. So we pray for Calvin, right? And then we pray for Calvin to walk in a manner of that knowledge that he received through the word. Verse 10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And so if you're praying for Calvin or your sister, your brother sitting right next to you, are you praying that they would walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we've received to be saved? That's the calling. Are we walking? So are we praying that for each other? That's a wonderful prayer to pray. And then what does it look like? Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So showing in his actions and his speech that he belongs to Jesus, and also further increasing, or we would say maturing, in the knowledge of God. So, you know, again, what are the fruit of the Spirit? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Anybody know a song about that? Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut? No. All right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All right. So grow in the fruit. Grow in that fruit. Sharing the gospel with unbelievers. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Laying down and helping each other out. These are fruits of the Spirit. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power. So we're praying back to Calvin. We're praying that he would be strengthened with the power that only God provides through the Spirit of God. Strength to walk with his Lord according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. So we know life is tough. So we want Calvin to know God's word, to love him, to glorify him. We want him to bear fruit, but we know life is tough. So we pray for endurance. You're not running a sprint. He looks like a runner, so you're a pretty good marathon runner. You're running a marathon. No. You have been working out, though, I heard. Calvin's been working out. I have heard that. So we want him running with endurance. So, like, hey, pray for your brothers and sisters. Lord, help them have endurance. Help them not crumble at the first sign of an obstacle. Whether they get tripped up over their own sin or something happens, that they have strength. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. That alone, man, just gives me gratitude. I'm going to run this race for God. And then we do it as a community. So we're all praying this for each other. Pray it individually. Pray it corporately. Pray it together and do this together. Right? All right, so in your fellowships, you know, in your accountability groups, in your Sunday schools, your children's ministry team, pray this prayer. Pray biblical words for each other. And a lot of you do, and I know you guys do a great job. We're praying. This prayer is desiring Christ's best for your fellow saints. I mean, that's what Paul's prayer is here. And so regularly I try to pray a lot for my staff, my deacons, my English ministry leaders, different people in the church. I try to regularly pray for all of them that God would work in their life to make them like Christ. I try to, you know, regularly. Do not give up praying for the church. So make a note on your phone, write it down, write this prayer down, pray it for yourself and others, and pray it in community. You know, again, I said this last week, it's hard to hold on to bitterness and antagonism against your fellow brothers and sisters if you're praying for God's best for them. It's a hard thing to do, right? Like, oh, you know, like, what did Matt Chandler say a couple weeks ago in the video? He says, you know, so some people get on my nerves. It's like the river dancing on my last nerve, you know. That's a good way to put it. But he says, you know what? That just happens to everybody. But he says, you know what? He says, if you're praying for them, if you're praying for their best, if you're seeking their best in prayer and then spills over into action, man, it's hard to hold on to any kind of bitterness, right? I'm going to pray for them, and then I'm going to show that in love to them. You know, and that's what the church is for, that we easily forgive, and we want to build each other up. Point number two, bear one another's burdens. And again, focusing on the aspect of prayer, bear one another's burdens in prayer. And of course, all of life as well. We'll get to that. So we seek God's best. And then part of prayer as well, and this is where we can pray as community, we're gonna lift up the burdens that we all have. We're going to help each other as a community carry them. So if I see a brother or sister in need, let's carry it together. And let's do it together. We fight sin. We lose a loved one. We have a bad medical diagnosis. You know, we have things that affect us in life. And sometimes it's hard for us to share, and that's why community is so good. So in your fellowships, in your small groups, be open with each other. Hey, I'm going through with this. Sometimes I'm walking with the Lord, and all of a sudden I feel like I'm getting like stressed. And I realize I haven't shared with anybody because I'm not meant to carry burdens alone, right? And so if you have a trusting, godly spouse, talk to your spouse, talk to other brothers and sisters. Talk to them about some things you're dealing with, right? And you're saying, man, I feel this burden, whatever. Galatians 6:2, as Can read at the beginning, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is just a text that just says, hey, if we're going to follow Christ and we're going to show the love of Christ, we're going to bear each other's burdens. We're going to help shoulder that care that somebody's facing. It's not good for us to be alone, God told Adam. And so we're going to pray for each other. And the law of Christ, this is not a rule list. The law of Christ is actually a freedom a freedom to love, because Christ loved us, and he's kind of almost saying metaphorically, the law of Christ is to love and lay down our lives like Jesus did for us, and so we're going to lift each other up. We're going to bear each other's burdens. We're going to help each other out, and that's what Jesus did for us. And so we're going to shoulder each other's burdens. And it starts first in prayer. If you belong to this church, man, make it a regular habit every day. You know, just every day of the week. You can pray for different things on days, but pray for some aspect of the church. You know, whether it be the leadership, we need it. Trust me, I need it. We need deacon. We need pray for your fellowship. Pray for your accountability partners. Pray for Miss Kathy. Pray for our church's ability to do missions. So pray. Just different days. Think of different ways you can pray for the church. You're like, I don't know what to pray for the church. Just think of different things you can pray for the church. Pray for Eric. He needs a lot of prayer.
He's a new youth director, right?
No, pray for Eric one day. Pray for me one day. Pray for deacon. Pray for our deacons. Deacon Tony, Deacon Can. Pray for them one day. Pray for our children's teachers. So if you think about our church, pray for us. We have this, some have the burden of teaching and serving. But also those who are hurting. Of course, a lot of you guys learn when people are hurting or dealing with issues, pray for them. And sometimes, here's the deal. A lot of times when I ask people, like, how's it going? Some people will share, like, in a very busy setting, like on Friday night when we were eating cookies and refreshments in there. People will talk to me and say, oh, I'm going through this. And I'll listen, okay, pray. And then I'll say, I'll pray for you. And as soon as they walk away, you know what I've learned to do? I just pray for them right there, because you know what usually happens? I forget. So I'm like, if I tell someone I'm going to pray for them, as soon as they walk away, or right there, you know what sometimes do? Just put your arm around them, and guess what? Pray for them. It's okay, people around you. This is what the church is for, amen? Pray for them right there, all right? So even if you're in a busy setting and you say, I'm going to pray for you, chances are you may forget or pull out your phone and make a reminder of yourself. But just pray for them right there. Pray for people who are sharing things with you. And then at deeper times, different fellowships, pray with each other. And this is how we bear up each other's burdens. Another thing that happens in our church too, not only external things, but also our own sin, right? Since we all struggle with sin, weaknesses. We're like, man, I need help. I've been bad this week. I've been struggling in this area or this area, and I need your prayer. And so I love what James says. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. All right, so James is saying, hey, we've got sins, they weigh us down. Some sins cause us illness, they do. Sometimes if we're ill, sometimes I ask, Lord, am I ill because I'm sinning against you? I've been disobedient. That's happened, right? And we'll see that in Acts. Ananias and Sapphira, right? There was a very serious time where God wanted to keep the church holy. Not always. We're not sick always because of sin, but sometimes it's good to seek that out. But anyway, spiritually, we do need that help. We do need that healing spiritually to be like, hey, I can't carry this alone. And you know what the church is for? We should openly listen to that person's confession and be like, thanks for sharing that with me. I'm struggling this way. And let's help each other out. Let's talk to someone who's godly who could help us out here. We should never, ever be like, I'm scared to share that because I'll be shamed. If that happens in the church, that is wicked. And I'm dead serious about that. That is evil. If I'm going to share a sin and someone's like, man, you're a terrible Christian. I don't know. I don't know if I can be a friend with you. Listen, that is a terrible thing. This is where we confess sin and we say, I need help. The church is a hospital for sinners. And we're here to help each other and become more like Christ. Are there consequences for sin? Absolutely. And some sins you have to deal with. And you have to report or whatever. But we're here because Christ has called us to restoration and reconciliation to God. And so we need to be open and vulnerable and trusting of each other. I can trust you. I can call you at 2 a.m. because I'm dealing with something and I know you'll listen and you'll pray for me and you'll help me. We need to be those kind of friends. And if you're not, you need to ask yourself why you're not that kind of person. and need to be open and say, yeah, if someone's gonna call me at 2 a.m., I'm not going to be like, you idiot, that's 2 a.m., and put the phone down. Like, I don't get up to 10 o'clock, you know. Hopefully you don't get up at 10. College, it's summertime, right? But we want to have those relationships within this church. And it's not everybody. We can't expect everybody to have that kind of relationship. But we want those few that we're like, man, I can go to them and pray with them about anything at all. And they're going to help me, and they're going to build me up. And so we need to be able to confess our sin. And that's part of bearing our burdens with one another. I'm not going to bear your burden. We're not meant to shoulder our sin on our own. Because we all have sin, right? You know? And we all need God's help. And that's what the community is for. And a lot of times when we sin, we tend to isolate ourselves. Instead of saying, hey, I need help. Can I talk to you? You know? That's what the church is for. And so we want to bear each other's burdens. Unity. We want to have that unity. It's a sacrifice. If someone calls you at 2 a.m., that's a sacrifice of love. But it's worth it. That'll bring joy in God's honor because we're saying, I want to help a brother and sister. I don't care if I lose a few hours of sleep. I'm going to help them and build them up in Jesus Christ. I want to reach across the aisle to someone who's different or someone who's hurting, and I want to help them out. Remember, Jesus himself, he went after the one lost sheep of 99. We need to have that kind of attitude where it's like, man, if I see somebody hurting this church, I think everybody else is good. I think I might just let them go. But you need to say, no, I want to help that person. And if you don't have the means to do that, then you enlist somebody else to help them. And so you go after them. And don't just rely on the pastor to do it. You know, I try to visit people during the week. I'll call people. But I can only do so much. You all need to be picking up the phone and calling each other and saying, how are you? What's going on? And some of you do a great job. Some of you do a great job of that. Thank you. But we need to have that kind of attitude. Hey, I haven't seen you for a while. I haven't seen you in church for a while. What's going on? So we need to care for each other. And it certainly starts in prayer. In prayer. This is embodying Christ. Let me give you a little a thing I saw from a pastor, I believe he's in Canada. His name is David Murray. And he had a sort of a love challenge, how to love the church, how to love each other, bear each other's burdens. And he just gave 10 things that you could commit to for a month. And you guys, feel free to do this or not do this, but I'm just going to give you a little 10 little items that you might want to jot down and say, Lord, I'm going to commit to do maybe a few of these this month because I want to help the church. I want to be one with this church. So here's number one. He called it the love challenge. Love challenge number one, pray for one family. This should not be hard. Pray for one family. Just that month, really focus on one family in the church. You can pray for others, but focus on one. All right, love challenge number two, speak to one person. Now, some of you are like, why is this even on here? I speak about Fortnite all the time to people. No, speaking like, hey, it's okay, ask, how are you doing? That's called, I care about you. If nobody, and you ask me too as a pastor, you know, don't be intimidated by me. Hey, Scott, how are you doing? You know, you can ask me. H, how you doing? I was going to call you Helen. Priscilla, how are you doing? Helen, sorry, it's your mom. How are you doing? How are you doing? And like, we should be asking each other that. Well, what's been going on this week? And some of you do a great job of that again. Love challenge number three. Encourage one person. Pick out one person this week and this month and say, I want to encourage this person. They need it. Number four, carry one burden, which we've been talking about. I'm going to, you know, maybe they need their cars broken down. They need some rides to their job or somewhere. I'm going to carry one burden. Number five, visit one person. All right, so the youth, you know, it might be hard because maybe some of you can't drive, but at least pick up the phone, visit with somebody, call somebody up, go visit with somebody. Number six, give one gift. Again, maybe a lack of resources. Somebody doesn't have something. Lord, if there's somebody in this church that I can meet the needs of through my resources. Number seven, forgive one person. Maybe there's someone in this church that you're like, I sort of forgive them, I sort of don't. Lord, help me love this person and forgive this person. Help me show them love through my words and actions. Number eight, welcome one person. Maybe there's somebody on the fringe in the youth group or somebody who as pretty new to this church, do they feel unwelcome? Welcome them in. If you see somebody in the youth group, and I know Eric says this all the time to you guys, if you see someone who's kind of on the edge of the youth group, hey, go talk to them. Go welcome into the group. Welcoming them in. All right. Number 9, share one meal. Some of you need some prayer for your cooking skills, but share one meal. Just buy something. Buy a good meal, right? And share a meal, right? Or go have lunch with somebody, right? Number 10, relegate one preference. Last one, relegate one preference. This one's good. You know, I really think the church needs to be like this in this area. Well, is it a biblical standard, or is it like, I would prefer it to be this way? I prefer it to be this way. You know, I prefer the music to be like this, or I prefer the small groups to be like this. Or I prefer, and it's not a biblical matter, it's just a preference matter. Give it up for the greater good of the body. Relegate one preference. So anyway, those are 10 ideas, love challenges. So 1 month to do them, and you can hold me accountable to do them too. So I got to do them too. You can ask me about them, all right? 10 challenges. But again, we are one. So that hopefully that gives you an idea, some practical pray, and then what to do. We're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. So let's act like we're one for Jesus. You know, cooking, you know, I know Daniel was trying to do this with the Yathis. They were cooking dinners together and having a good time of fellowship and sharing with one another. And that's part of that. Like we're gonna live life together, you know. We're gonna talk about God's word together. And so we're gonna do this, all right? And be encouraging. Be encouraging to someone. Last passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. This is just Paul again thanking the church. We give thanks to God always for all of you, the church, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. He's constantly praying again. Verse 3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, and your labor of love and steadfastness of hope. And our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I love the middle term, second line, labor of love. Love is costly. It's costly. And so, I have to say, Lord, I have to give up some of my comforts to go love somebody. Go love somebody in this church. I have to get out of my comfort zone. Maybe I feel like I'm kind of quiet. Lord, you want me to open my voice and talk to somebody. Labor, a labor of love. But it's worth it because that's like Christ, and you'll receive blessing from God. And you will be helped and energized by the Lord. And the more you do that, the more you'll make an impact on the church in the world. And so this is Paul's prayer for us. Let's labor. So church, here's the thing. Let's labor together in love. Let's labor together in prayer. Let's pray for one another and pray in community. And then let's show that and show that we're one. And because that's what Jesus prayed, may they be one, so that the world may know that I am from you. And that's the key. The world may know that Jesus was sent by God for salvation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are an awesome Father who has made us one together in Jesus Christ. You've brought us together as one family, as one community. And Lord, we don't deserve that because we sinned against our Father, but you showered your love by sending your Son to die for wicked sinners, God. And God, you brought us back into your fold. And God, you will not let one of us go. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're one with us. You're energizing us to show love. We pray that you build us up. And then I pray as a church, we would model what's already been modeled for us in the Trinity. That God, you have a perfect unity of persons. And Lord, help us, as Paul prays, be of the same mind and agreement. Not that we won't have differences, but we're going to be unified together, Lord. And so I just pray that that would be true of the Cantonese, the Mandarin, Lord, the English side, like all of our groups, that we would seek to really love each other, to know each other from all sides, Lord, and to build each other up, God. We pray that if anyone here does not know Christ as Savior, as Lord, they would just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm outside of your family. I need Jesus' sacrificial death on my behalf for my salvation. I pray that they would turn their heart to you today, that they would see that Jesus not only died for their sins, but raised from the dead to give new life. And Lord, for us, Lord, help us live as a family on mission. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.